Welcome back to the National Defense. It's Randy Miller. Hey, listen, a lot of people do not know about the Armed Services YMCA. This interview has been coming up for a few days. I've discussed it with people in and outside of the military. We've been doing this show for 10 years and still did not know enough about the Armed Services YMCA. It is the oldest military support organization in the U.S., founded in 1861. And they do such great work. We're going to find out all about that. Retired Navy Vice Admiral William French is with us, the CEO of the Armed Services YMCA. Bill, how are you?
Hey, Rain, I'm doing great. Thank you very much for having us on your program. This is wonderful.
Hey, how many times do you get that? You know, you tell people about the Armed Services YMCA and they go, what is that?
Yeah, we used to get that quite a bit, but I think more and more people are finding out about what we do. I think we're having an impact, a bigger impact today than we have in the past, thanks to a lot of great folks on our staffs, the folks that are out at our branches and affiliates, and frankly, our national board members. So we're blessed to have a great team, and we're working harder every day to do more things to do for our military families, wherever they may be stationed across the country.
So I guess the first question would be, why do we need a separate YMCA for military kids?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. We've had something in place, as you mentioned, since 1861. I think that the challenge, it's not just for the kids, it's for the families. And we're different than most YMCAs, right? We're not a swim and gym type organization. We run programs really designed to support the family. So, for example, we do a lot of child care, preschool care, drop-off care, after-school care, all for the kids. We also do other things, food distribution. We really started in earnest during COVID, where we were out giving food things away for those families to help them allow them to make ends meet. So there's a lot of things we do. We provide rides home around the holidays. We provide father-daughter dances, funding to support short-term requirements that those families have. So there's a lot of things that we try to do to complement or supplement what's provided to them from the Department of Defense. Mm. And I'll be the first one to admit, DOD does a wonderful job taking care of their families, of their soldiers, their airmen, their sailors, their Marines, their Guardians, the Guardsmen. They do a wonderful job, but they can't do it all. And we try to fill the gap, if you will, for those areas where they need a little bit more support. And child care is one of those issues right now where we're really spending a lot of time focused on trying to figure out how we can do more to support the child care requirements or needs of our military families.
Yeah, I think that is so important. We're going to get into that. But Vice Admiral, before we kind of get into the rest of what you guys do, tell me a little bit about your military history.
Well, I was lucky enough to join the Navy right out of college. I spent the first 20 years of my career driving submarines. I was on 5 different submarines. I had command of a squadron of submarines. And then the last 10 or so years of my career, I was in the base support, running programs on the bases. So I had my last job, I was responsible for all the Navy bases across the globe. And so we ran, you know, all the childcare things, all the support items to support for those Navy sailors and their families at whatever base that they would be stationed at. So I had some experience before coming to this current position with the Armed Services YMCA on the types of programs that we run here. So I feel like the last 10 years of my time in service in the Navy really prepared me well to join the team here at the Armed Services YMCA.
It sounds like it was just meant to be, just a great fit for you. But I mean, commander of a sub? Are you kidding me? Man, I mean, what a stud. What is according to you now, Bill, what is your favorite submarine movie?
Oh, that's easy. Run Silent, Run Deep. They're all good. There's a bunch of good ones.
Yeah, yeah.
And the other one, the modern ones, Das Boot. I liked.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But, you know, this is such a fascination that everybody has with subs. So it's just it's an honor to talk to a commander. That's fantastic. Hey, as far as the Armed Services YMCA, and we talked about child care, but you also talked about something, and we talked about it off the air a little bit, about how much of a challenge it is for families to serve now, either one or two people in the family, with everything that's going on these days, right?
Yeah, I tell you what, I reflect, and I've talked to some folks that served when I served. I think it's so much more challenging to serve today. First of all, you know, we've been in combat for the last 20 years, which puts a strain on a family,
right?
Unlike most anything else. And then you couple that with kind of the demands these days on any family. But you really, if you have kids, you really need two incomes in order to make ends meet. So now we got to figure out, how do you find two different jobs? And then, oh, by the way, one person moves every 2 to 3 years. So you got to uproot the family, move someplace, get them settled in. The spouse has to find a new job or a different job. And then you got to get childcare set up for them in order, because you can't have both parents working if you don't have some childcare arrangement. I just think that given what all those families had to do during COVID, that was a huge challenge. And I just think then you got inflation going on now. So, you know, anybody that's not making a lot of money with two incomes is going to be challenged. And then you're expected to go serve and deploy, move every 2 to 3 years, uprooted. You know, military families don't have the benefit that a lot of young families do, where they're close to their parents or grandparents,
right,
or uncles, where they could come in and help you. These military families are usually off alone and unafraid, and they need that type of support. And that's, I think, where we try to come in and help those young families. And we really specialize or focus on supporting those families pay grades E5 and below. We think those are the ones that need the most help. They're still trying to figure out life. And then once we get them to the pay grade E6 or senior, they've probably figured most of that stuff out, and they're,
sure,
and they're more independent. So I just think there's a lot of things that these young families have to do today to be successful in the service. And I think it's certainly harder now than it was when I served.
Well, and you bring up a great point, too, about these challenges that face military families. And we've had Nora O'Donnell from CBS News on a few times, and she's done some great reporting on food lines at bases and trying to rehab a house that's falling down at some of these places. And it's disgusting to me. It's disgusting. It's hard to see. And I mean, these are people that are fighting for our country, and they come back to that. So it's just, it's so inspirational what you guys are doing to help these families. Give us a couple of examples, if you will, Bill, about the programs you have and what you are doing.
Yeah, you talked about food insecurity, so I'll talk a little bit about that. We did a little bit of food insecurity support before COVID, but what we saw during the first part of COVID was a 4 to 5-fold increase in food demand at our branches where we had some food distribution. I don't remember the exact numbers off the top of my head, but in the 2 years of COVID, from, you know, about we distribute about 5 million pounds of food to military families.
Oh, wow. Wow.
When you think about it. And we do this in conjunction with Department of Defense. And it was good to see Secretary of Defense come out about a year ago that said, hey, we do in fact have a food insecurity issue on the base. And once he did that, we were really able to get access to all those bases and figure out how to support them. So we've got great relationships with organizations like Feeding America and other food banks at local locations that are very happy to work with us. We become the distribution point, and they help us get the food stuff that we need to go address the challenges. So I think that's one area.
Yeah. I was just going to say, you know, I'm sure it spreads like wildfire through those bases. Once a family finds out about you guys and the way you help, I'm sure they're like, well, hey, sign me up.
Yeah, it's interesting you bring that up. But I don't sense, I've walked through many of those food distribution locations, and I've talked to the executive directors of them. I don't think there's abuse. I think people that are coming through actually need I didn't mean that at all.
I just meant in terms of finding out what you can do, and that they also need that kind of help.
Yeah, and I think the other thing is when they come through, it's our opportunity to say, hey, not only can you get this with this, but here are the other things we do. And the other thing we do is it's not we are one nonprofit, right? There's many other great nonprofits that support the military and support veterans. And we invite those type of organizations to come with us when we go do the food distribution, so that those folks that are benefiting from the, you know, picking up some food can also learn about not just the other programs we provide, but the programs that other similar military support organizations provide. Because in the end, we're all trying to do the same thing, right? Make the life better for those military families who serve.
Yeah, and when I read about the scope of what you guys have done at the Armed Services YMCA, it's very impressive. I mean, I've got the numbers, I think, here from 2020. Served nearly 150,000 individuals, delivered more than 500,000 points of service through its 12 branches and 24 affiliate partners. I mean, this is how many volunteers, how many people work for the Armed Services YMCA? This is a big undertaking.
Yeah, I'd say we're right under 500 paid employees. And then I would say we're probably on the order of 10 to 12,000 volunteers. You can't run a nonprofit like ours without a lot of volunteers that are going to come and make a difference, right? So I was just down at Fort Bragg last week, and they had a big event where they were going to put in a community garden for the kids to learn the benefits of, you know, so they got free plot of land on the base. They got free lawn timbers from, I think, Home Depot. Then they had another group of folks that were all volunteers from Blue Cross Blue Shield that all came out that did all the work, and they got free other. So it cost nothing because all the labor was free and everything was gifted to us. And now we have this wonderful community garden that our military kids can go learn from and go plant things and go pick things. I mean, I think it's a really healthy opportunity for us to be able to take advantage of all those things that are there and the people that are willing to make a difference. So we try to do that everywhere we go, the programs we run. And again, most of what we do now, I think we mentioned earlier, is really taking care of those kids. So all different types of child care, before and after school care, the types of things that are necessary for those families to be successful and allow both parents to have employment. And I think that's the real success for the future. We need to make sure that both those parents are employable. And if so, I think that really solves a lot of the challenges that young military families have.
We're talking to retired Navy Vice Admiral Bill French here on the National Defense and CEO of Armed Services YMCA. And I want to go back to something you mentioned before in terms of being deployed, because the other side of that you guys are helping to solve is when you're deployed, and you know this better than anybody, Bill, you don't want that on your mind. I mean, you want to have peace of mind. You want to concentrate on your job and your duty. And if you got to worry about, are my kids getting taken care of? Or is my family able to eat? That would drive you crazy.
No, you're exactly right. I mean, that's why when I talk about the types of things we do, I call it a readiness issue. And those folks that understand how the military works fully appreciate when I say what we do helps the readiness of those units that are assigned to that post or that base. Because those folks, particularly those folks that are deploying, need to be confident that their families are taken care of when they're out there at the tip of the spear. And if they're out there, wherever they may be deployed, whether it's on the ground with an Army or Marine Corps unit, or whether it's out to sea with a Navy unit, they need to be confident their family's taken care of so they can focus on the issue at hand. And we can't have them focusing or thinking about, hey, what do I have to do to take care of my kids or my wife, or making phone calls back in the middle of something. They need to be confident when they leave, everything is in good shape. And we try to make sure that we provide the supplementary and complementary programs to what DOD provides to make sure there's a complete support package for those families that are left behind when the service member deploys.
And you talk about a couple of specific areas of the country, like San Diego and the D.C. area, where military families have a lot of long waiting lists, and some of them so long that they will likely move to their next duty station before having a spot open up for their child. So the kid never gets into school there.
Yeah, exactly right. I think you hit the two big ones. San Diego's, I think, has the longest single waiting list. I think it's about 2,000 kids right now.
Wow.
Yeah, it's amazing. And that can happen. That scenario can happen. You get orders somewhere for two and a half years. You get there, put your name on the waiting list or put your kids' names on the waiting list. You wait the 2.5 years. You're still not up to where there's a spot for you. And that's just part of the challenge of moving, right? If you're a family that stays in one location, there may be a waiting list, a short waiting list for you to get on. But once you're in and you stay in that location, you're good for childcare until the kid, grows out of the childcare requirement. So the fact that our military families have to move so often and they go to locations like San Diego, the other big locations we have where there's shortfalls, Hawaii, up in the Northwest around Seattle and Tacoma, a little bit there in San Antonio, and then back here in D.C. And, here in D.C., I know this firsthand because my son and daughter-in-law have a two-year-old, and it's $22,000 a month, if you can find it, for childcare. If you can,
$2,000 a month?
Yeah, that's something. I mean, if it's an infant, it may be more like $2,400.
Oh my gosh!
So you're a pay grade E5 back here with no ability to get on the base, and your spouse wants to work. You're paying a lot of money to get childcare, if you can find it. I mean, that's a challenge.
Wow. Yeah, that's incredible. Hey, you guys also have a program called Operation Hero that is so cool. Talk about that a little bit, Bill.
Yeah, if I could have a favorite program, it might be it. This is a program that was developed really for military kids. And what we found was these young kids from about second grade to eighth grade, they move frequently. And therefore, we found that some of these kids have struggled both with kind of the ability to fit in emotionally, and some of them have academic challenges, right? So this is really designed for those kids that are struggling a little bit in class. And it's an after-school class that meets twice a week, 2.5 hours per class. So a total of 5 hours after class a week that really focuses on giving them the confidence to interface and social skills to be successful working with other kids their age, as well as the skills to be good in academics. So we help them with their homework. We give them the confidence they need to be back in the classroom and perform well and do well. So it's one of those unique programs that kids can be identified either by their parents who say, hey, my kids are struggling a little bit in class, or by the teachers who said, I think your child would be a good candidate for the Operation Hero program. So we do this. It's free of charge. We have a certified teacher that's there with them. And it's every week there's a focus on some sort of positive attribute that you want to have in your kids, whether it's leadership or confidence. And so each one of those is a highlight for the week, and it's a 10-week-long program. The intent really is to have them go through a couple semesters of that and then kind of graduate out of that and go do other things that are available after school in the school.
Well, and the other key part of that I think is they make friends.
Yeah, no, exactly right. They make friends. And then when you pick up a move every 2 years or 3 years, sometimes it's hard going through the process to make those friends. And here's another opportunity. And it's a small group. We normally have somewhere between 7 to 10 kids in the class. So they get to know each other pretty well. They all work together. And I think a lot of it is they do their homework. They have help with their homework. So when they get back in the class, they're not the kid that, is struggling or can't answer the question, because now they've done the homework, they know the answers, and they walk back away with a lot more confidence than they had before they started that semester.
Absolutely. Man, I tell you what, the things that you guys provide are just so phenomenal. How do people find out more about the Armed Services YMCA, not only to donate, but to volunteer?
Yeah, great question. So it's pretty easy. We have a website that's asymca.org. So that's asymca.org. If you go to that website, you can learn more about our programs, where we're located, opportunities to volunteer, and if you're so moved, there's also a chance to donate online. So we are purely a nonprofit. We depend on donations in order for us to run the programs that I've discussed with you, whether it's childcare, whether it's the other programs we run. So we appreciate all that type of support, and we get a lot of support from companies, from grants, and from individuals who decide, hey, this is a place I want to invest my donated funds to make a difference in the lives of those who serve.
Absolutely. And Admiral, we've had a lot of admirals on this program, and I always ask them the same question. Does it irritate you when you go into the Admiral's Club at American Airlines and not everybody there is an admiral?
No, I think it's wonderful. I kind of wonder why here it is. It's the Admiral's Club at American Airlines. Most you think of pilots, you think of the Air Force. Why don't they call it the General's Club? Right. I guess just because the Admiral's Club sounds better. I don't know.
And when is the last time you had an auto dog?
So you've been on a ship?
No, I have not been on a ship, but I like to prepare for my interviews.
Yeah. So it's been a long time since I had a real auto dog, right? Because the only time you get a real auto dog's on a ship.
And how do you describe an auto dog?
It's just it's the ice cream that comes out of the machines, right?
On submarines.
Well, that's on submarines too, particularly if it's chocolate.
That's crazy. Oh, man, it has been such an honor talking to you. And thank you for the work that you're doing, Bill, for the Armed Services YMCA. It's just great stuff.
Hey, Randy, thank you very much for having us. It's, as you know, it's an honor to serve. And it's a great way for us to be able to give back and try to make a difference for those who are serving now. And like we discussed, I think these young men and women that have dedicated their lives to support our nation need our support. And I think it's harder now than it's ever been to serve and make a difference, protect our nation. And it's so important. I know we're struggling on recruiting. We need to get more people in order to be able to, you know, take care of our nation and take care of those who depend on, you know, it's less than 1% of those yep. in our country today that serve. And we need to make sure we continue to attract the best and the brightest to go do that. Absolutely. And make a difference. Allow us to live in the greatest nation in the world.
Amen. We'll be right back here on the National Defense.